this will be a crisis beyond what we can imagine over the next decade.
Diabetes in Pakistan, a nation's struggle. To listen, search the documentary online or wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Still to come, we'll have the latest on today's ceasefire negotiations as more people are reported to have been killed in Gaza by Israeli strikes. Also, NewsHour's Lise Doucette gives us her reflections on her recent trip to Iran. The Dalai Lama is celebrating his 90th birthday, but who will come after him? And the baby grizzly bear that's moved into a small community in British Columbia, Canada. First, the news.
BBC News, I'm John Shea. Hospital officials in Gaza say Israeli airstrikes have killed at least 32 Palestinians, ahead of indirect talks later between Israel and Hamas. The discussions in Qatar are aimed at securing a ceasefire and a deal to release hostages. Reports from Iran say two members of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps were killed while trying to defuse explosives in Khorramabad. The area was targeted by Israeli strikes last month. Officials in the Sudanese capital Khartoum say they've recovered and buried almost 4,000 bodies since Khartoum's state was recaptured by the army in May. They say the bodies were found on the streets and in homes, hospitals and government buildings. President Xi Jinping will miss a summit of BRICS countries, which is due to start in Brazil today, for the first time since he became China's leader. The no-show has fueled speculation, both about the organisation and Mr Xi's reasons for not going. The governor of Texas says emergency workers will be relentless in their search for everyone who's missing after flash floods that have killed more than 50 people. 27 girls remain unaccounted for. China has added a new air route above the sensitive waterway that separates it from Taiwan. Beijing said it would ease flight congestion, but Taiwan says there'll be increased tension. Syria says Turkey has agreed to send more planes and firefighters to battle wildfires on the border between the two countries. Turkey had already sent two planes to Syria's Latakia region on Saturday. Pakistan's mountainous northern areas have recorded their highest ever temperature, 48.5 degrees Celsius. The figure surpassed the previous regional record set nearly three decades ago. And the Dalai Lama has thanked thousands of followers who'd helped celebrate his 90th birthday. They'd converged on the Indian town of Dharamshala for prayer, music and merriment. BBC News.
Welcome back to NewsHour. The small island community of Texada, just off the northwest coast of British Columbia in Canada, is grappling with an ethical dilemma at the moment. What to do about a grizzly bear that's joined their community? The four-year-old bear swam out to the island last month from the mainland through icy currents. It's a good 5 kilometre swim. The locals have called him Tex. Clearly, there is affection for him, but grizzlies and people are not an ideal mix. Nicola Scarpellati is the executive director of Canada's Grizzly Bear Foundation, and he's been speaking to the BBC's Krupa Pardi.
He's a four-year-old young male. He's curious, and he was pushed out of his home range by his mom. He's at that age where he's looking for a mate. So he's out exploring. He hasn't really been getting into too much trouble. He's young, so he's a bit bratty. So people are a bit concerned. Like, he will follow people when they're walking their dog and things like that. And that's one of those areas where it can be misconstrued, because some people think that he's stalking them, but it's not the behavior that he's exhibiting. He's actually just following and being curious. So there's a lot to learn about that. And a community like Texada, it's new to them. They're learning what this means.
When a bear arrives on the island as it has, does it come under anyone's care, or is it just left to roam free?
Yeah, so grizzly bears roam free all over the province of British Columbia, but they're on the coast, particularly on these small islands and Vancouver Island. They haven't been seen for many generations because settlers hunted them out, or maybe even on Vancouver Island, for example, they never were historically there. So it's new for people, for settlers, but it's not new to First Nations. And so that's what's really interesting about the welfare and conservation of this one bear. is that there's a conversation happening between the province of British Columbia and the First Nations whose traditional territory this bear roams.
So how hard would his swim have been?
You know, the easiest way to tell a grizzly bear from a black bear is they have this big hump behind their shoulders. That's actually a muscle. Oh. It's good for digging and tearing things up. So for a swim like that and a young bear who's driven to find new food sources and a mate, that's a pretty good swim for him. But we've got lots of evidence that they've been doing that up and down the British Columbia coast.
So this conversation has now started between the people of the First Nations and the local urban community. What are you going to do with Tex, basically?
In 2019, the province signed the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People into law, and we're the first province in Canada to do that. And what that means is the province needs to build partnerships with First Nations and sort of talk about co-management. In a way, we're decolonizing conservation, and it's a unique model. So what's happening right now, and Tex's fate is really in their hands, is how quickly can they have that conversation and work out this new model of conservation through reconciliation.
Nicholas Scarpellati there, director of Canada's Grizzly Bear Foundation, speaking to the BBC's Krupa Pardee earlier on today. You're listening to NewsHour live from the BBC. I'm Rebecca Kesby. Where are we on the ceasefire talks for Gaza? Well, Israel has said it has sent a delegation to proximity talks in Qatar today. It follows a statement from Hamas on Friday night that it was ready for negotiations with what it called a positive response. But there are some proposed amendments Hamas has put forward, which the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has already described as unacceptable. So it's going to be a tough job for the negotiators from Qatar, Egypt and the United States. Let's get the latest with our correspondent in Jerusalem, Ione Wells. Ione, we'll talk about the talks in a moment. First, though, I just wonder if you could give us the latest, as we understand it, from Gaza, because we're hearing there's been quite a few more deaths in Gaza.
That's right. Certainly, since it's been discussed that negotiations are going to continue over a ceasefire, more people have died in Gaza as this war continues. The Hamas-run health ministry has said that at least 80 Palestinians were killed in Gaza in the 24 hours up to Sunday afternoon, including eight people who were killed near aid distribution sites. On Saturday as well, the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, the controversial US and Israeli-backed aid provider, said two of their American employees had been injured in what they described as grenade attacks to the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. The Israeli military and also Gaza Humanitarian Foundation have blamed Hamas for that, although Hamas have not officially commented. But certainly, as you say, while these ceasefire negotiations are about to recommence, the war on the ground continues to rage.
Yes. What can you tell us about those talks? Because obviously these are proximity talks. They're not actually direct, are they? It's sort of a case of the negotiators shuttling between the various rooms. We understand there are new amendments coming from Hamas that Israel aren't happy with. Can you explain?
That's right. As you say, Israel and Hamas don't talk directly. They talk through their mediators, Qatari, Egyptian and US mediators, over negotiations. And it seems that big gaps remain between both sides to secure a deal. Hamas is seeking a US guarantee that fighting won't continue after any 60-day ceasefire if no permanent deal is reached. A message perhaps there to Donald Trump ahead of his meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu tomorrow in Washington. Israel have previously rejected this suggestion, rejected any kind of commitment to ending the war. Hamas also wants a shutdown of the controversial US and Israeli-backed aid provider, the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, and they want a reinstatement of aid from the United Nations and other international relief organizations. This would also be politically a difficult concession for Israel to agree to, not least because the far-right members of Netanyahu's government don't want any aid whatsoever into Gaza at the moment, let alone from the UN or other providers. Now, Hamas finally also wants the Israeli military to withdraw to the positions that it held before the last ceasefire deal collapsed in March in Gaza. Now, Israel have said that they will continue talks on the existing proposal, which it's believed include a staggered release of 10 hostages and 18 bodies in exchange for Palestinians in Israeli jails. But Israel has called Hamas's proposed changes, which haven't been publicly detailed, unacceptable to Israel. That statement from the office of the Prime Minister seems to suggest that at the moment, any imminent breakthrough seems pretty unlikely.
OK, well, thanks for updating us. Ione Wells there with the latest in Jerusalem, and we'll keep across any developments from those talks across the day here on the BBC. Now, Britain has restored diplomatic relations with Syria, and the UK Foreign Secretary David Lammy has marked the occasion with a visit to Damascus. He's been holding talks with President Ahmed al-Sharaa and his Syrian counterpart